Max?
Yeah.
How you doing, darling?
Do you know, I'm not doing too well, really. I'm not at the best couple of
Oh,
weeks.
no. Hey,
Last
Max,
Monday.
I really
Yeah.
I want you to do something for me. Just clear your mind and tell me the first name that comes into your head, because that's him, that's the one.
I'm thinking Frank. He's Frank to you. Francis professionally. I'm seeing him in a big corner office somewhere. High flyer, human rights lawyer, I think. Successful.
Yeah.
But with a heart, he's going to
Oh
worship the ground you walk on.
my God, he sounds fantastic. I really, really love Frank. I'm gonna go and find him now, right now.
Don't you want to know about his penis first?
Hello and welcome to Let's Get Frank, the dating podcast presented by me, Bibi Lynch. I'm a journalist and broadcaster, and I've written for lots of the nationals, had columns in Red, Grazia, and GQ. Broadcast on BBC Radio, host a sex podcast called Good Sex, Bad Sex, and my last relationship ended the day after Diana died. I know. I should be an expert, but I can't even get a second date. So this is a podcast about my journey to find the love of my life, Frank. Francis, professionally. With the help of my sounding board and dating coach extraordinaire, Annabelle Knight, I'm going to find Frank, date Frank, and hopefully marry Frank. Good luck, everyone. Annabelle, Miss Annabelle Knight, I've missed you, our resident sex relationship dating coach, who's also a best-selling author and TV presenter with a range of sex toys. Hey, Annabelle, so we've had the dates and now it's time to reflect. A big part of me had hoped that this episode would be a wedding. But life is life.
Looking at my sad and lonely hat on the side, thinking about all my failures.
Did you go for the swimming cap with flowers on in it?
How did you know?
I see you in that. But look, let's talk about, so it's not a wedding, but look, that doesn't mean it's a failure, does it? That doesn't mean that I've let us down. Let's talk about how I've done, how well I've done, which is obviously brilliantly, as I get myself back into the dating world, as I continue without you. That's, don't leave me.
I know. It's you know, it's an end of an era. But no, it has not been a failure in the slightest. You have come on in leaps and bounds since date number one, when you were so self-deprecating and everything was a joke. And you know, you were quite defensive by using comedy. And even though there are still tiny little bits of that peppered in every now and then, but in a healthy way, you've just come on so far. You're far more confident. You know what you want.
Oh, this is so cool. It's well, how we're going to do this is we're going to have a little listen to some of the dates.
Oh,
I don't know if
yay.
You're prepared for that. Yeah, you might find it arousing. I want you to prepare yourself. So our first Frank, oh, I loved him so much. Nobel Peace Prize nominated lawyer. Frank, I mean, come on, talk about dating up. Should we have a little listen to how that went? I'm slightly worried though, Frank, because if you're that busy, how are you going to have time for me?
Well,
because I'm quite high maintenance.
I think matters of the heart, you have to create time. Then if you
I think I'd make you very unhappy.
I love that though. He was just so pure and lovely and such a good person. And I actually thought he was pretty much a perfect first date, a great way to start the podcast.
Do you know, he makes me beam. He
yeah,
makes me
too.
Happy. He's just such an incredible man. It made me kind of feel off, actually.
Wasn't he hiding out in a friend's house
yeah.
when we spoke to him? Because
in Uganda, he advocates for LGBTQ plus rights.
Insanity, yeah. But here we are.
And he was so matter of fact about it, and you know, has been threatened, and you know, I mean, it was just horrifying. He was so like, yeah, pure is a really fantastic word for him, and he really was just so excitable, and he really just made me happy. And I remember one bit of the date as well. I said to him, "Would you stroke my hair?" And he went, "Yes." And I was like, "Oh my God, you would just be such a beautiful date." What did I learn from that date? I just think, well, I guess I learned that, you know. Our first Frank is gay. So our first Frank and I are not going to be happy ever after in terms of a relationship, a romantic relationship. But I think maybe the lesson there is, you know, I have a list. I had a list. And maybe to kind of to deviate from that is actually fine, because we just had a blast.
Yeah, exactly. You had a great experience. And even though it couldn't go anywhere romantically, that was that didn't mean that you couldn't have a good time on the date. Just having the conversation with him, I learned so much. I'm sure you did because you were actually on the date.
Hey, Annabelle, I think we've got another clip of me and lawyer Frank.
Oh my goodness. Let's play it.
I personally wouldn't want to date someone so young because I imagine myself when I was very young. I don't think I'd be in a proper relationship. I'd probably be on other dating apps when I'm...
Oh, really? I couldn't... If someone cheated on me, my little heart would be broken. Aww. Well, that's still true. Whatever we've learned in our... But that's important as well, isn't it? And I remember you've said this a lot and it's... I've still yet to find this balance, Annabelle, of within the dates, you're allowed to say what you want and you're allowed to talk about yourself in a way that's, you know, you don't have to be jokey. You can kind of talk real deal. You can talk about real stuff, but not in such a heavy way that it, you know, your date pops the searchlight in front of you, you know, so it's...
It's good to be vulnerable, I think, is the takeaway.
Yeah, it's good to be vulnerable and also to know... your boundaries within something, because it's like I couldn't deal with if someone cheated on me.
Knowing your boundaries, knowing you're worth someone respecting those boundaries while they're kind of holding hands, they're also two very different approaches, because people are really good at setting boundaries, but then not so good at realizing when someone is actually forcing them to step outside of those boundaries or kind of using those boundaries against them. So to say I'm actually worth having my boundaries respected is a big thing. And not many people actually stick to their guns long term with this kind of thing. So when we're dating, knowing our boundaries, respecting that they should be respected and kind of sticking to that are cornerstones of a good date that could lead to a happy and healthy relationship.
I'm going to ask you something that's a piece of string question and I want a quick answer, which is going to be impossible. How do people survive infidelity?
Well, I think finding out why it happened is the absolute most prominent element of getting through it, because it's really easy to assign blame to the person that has cheated. We see it in such a black and white way societally. The cheat is the bad person and the other person is a victim, when really it doesn't actually really work like that for pretty much any case that's ever happened. In long-term, respectful, established relationships, I'm talking. So I think finding out why it happened and working backwards from that moment to you know, decide whether or not you want to still be in the relationship, because some people see infidelity as, yeah, okay, I'm the victim, but also as a great get-out clause for a relationship that wasn't actually working for them. So it depends entirely, like you said, it's a piece of string question. It depends on the person that did it, the person it happened to, and the type of relationship they have, and whether or not they actually want to be in that relationship going forward.
Oh, me and my inadequate glutes, I know we couldn't cope. I tell you who would never cheat on me, our second Frank. So she was a female Frankster, a straight woman, married with children. So again, on paper, maybe not perfect, but should we have a little listen?
So I feel like sometimes trying to keep all your emotions hidden and trying to play it cool, I find that quite hard. So I would just let go almost, maybe for the first time, I just let go properly and just let myself be loved. And it worked out well. Like one of my best friends, Stacey, she always said, like, it wasn't supposed to work out with you two. No one's supposed to get together that quickly and have a baby that quickly and it all come up roses. But within 10 months of dating, I got pregnant.
I loved female Frankster Frank.
More than you love me?
No. Not quite.
That's a bit
tough question. Again, piece of string question.
Depends what you've been up to. I even just love how she just name-checked a friend. She just had that real chatty kind of, I felt like I knew her forever.
Well, I was going to say about female Frankster Frank, the only woman that you went on a date with, that date was actually probably the most well-balanced date out of all of them. It was more of a dance, you know, sometimes you led, sometimes she led, and it was kind of a very mutually, maybe not respectful, but a mutually, I kind of want to say respectful, like it felt like a really great conversation between two close friends, even though you've never met her before.
Didn't she have a penis on her head?
Unicorn. She had a unicorn.
Unicorn. I'm so sorry. I do get those confused.
Has it been that long?
They're both mythical, magical creatures to me. Imaginary. They don't exist.
I once got described as this guy's unicorn once. Oh. Basically, this is great. We'd kind of had, I don't want to say one night stand because I did know him before, but it wasn't really romantic. And then one night, suddenly it was. And I didn't know that he had harbored these feelings for me for a really long time. And in the morning, he tucked a piece of hair behind my ear, looked at me as if it was like the morning after our wedding, and said, you're my unicorn. You're like the mythical creature. And finally, I've got you. And I was like, okay. And I'm leaving. I've been described as a unicorn.
So you went, okay, bye. And I'm like,
honestly, telling the story, it probably sounds more romantic than it was. It was okay. It was intense. And yeah. I was only about, I think I was about 22 at the time. And so that didn't work out.
Was the sex at least good?
I can't remember.
Okay, no. Okay.
72 decades ago.
Yeah, I forget. Do we have another clip of me and my Frankster?
Female Frankster, yes, we do.
I've got pop socks on.
Yeah, I'm wearing my pyjamas. I'm just a mom who's wearing unicorn headphones.
And I've got Baileys on my chin.
Yeah,
you haven't.
No.
Well, if that clip doesn't say it all, I don't know what will. That was just pure joy.
Two drunks, one in charge of children, one in charge of a microphone, just putting Baileys on our face.
When you hear two women getting along like that, you can see how certain types of relationships that involve two women are so beautifully well-balanced, because that was just, you know, two great friends having a laugh, even though you were actually on a first date.
And I can't even remember the context, but I think one of us just said we were wearing pop socks as well, which is just the least, how hilarious. Where'd you stand on the pop sock, Annabelle?
Well, do you know what? I don't know if I'm about to show my age or my ignorance, but I'm not entirely sure what a pop sock is.
Okay, that's offensive. Let's talk about Teacher Frank. I really liked her. I think he was so funny. Oh my God, super funny, but also annoyingly good looking. I don't know if you recall me not actually being able to talk much.
I remember you. I don't think you were a bit nervous. I think you were cool, calm and collected until you figured out who it was you were actually dating, and then the nerves kicked in. So yeah, I remember you being a bit nervous.
Do you also remember me giving him a list of things I can't do? Like the opposite of selling myself.
He was the can't date, where I wrote down in my little notepad, stop telling him things. Stop saying the word can't for a start.
Should we have a little listen to the clip?
Yeah.
Oh, that's foreign enough, isn't it?
I was watching your face as I said the M word.
Yeah.
Now you know what that was.
Oh, I like that clip. Oh.
So he's from Liverpool. So of course I told him how much I loved Manchester because I lived there for a year, and his little face, his little handsome face.
It all went a bit downhill after you, the list of can'ts and the comparison. Yeah. The Manchester, you said the M-word and it just didn't,
I said the M-word.
It didn't pan out.
I also, I support Liverpool, and I also mentioned the Liverpool word in terms of the football team, and his face went. So I was instantly, okay, he's Everton or Tranmere, and he was Everton. So I didn't do very well. Is there another clip to prove that point? So when you listen to the podcast, how did I come across? What did you think?
Desperate, I would say, is probably, But I mean, the Princess Diana thing, you split up with your fella just after Princess Diana died. Was he like a big fan of Prince Philip or something? And you were well onto those conspiracy theories.
There's no connection. The police never found anything, so don't you try. He was really funny.
despite your Liverpool-based faux pas throughout that date, yeah. I actually think it was quite successful.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really liked him. It was a lot of fun. That he kept saying things that I thought were going to get me sued about conspiracy theories. And I think he gave me like quite detailed information on how to kill someone high profile.
We did sail perilously close to the wind.
Yeah, and here I am repeating it. Let's move on. New Zealand, Frank. Now, I know, hugely lovely man and super fun. Didn't he? He loved the David Beckham aftershave.
Yeah, he had like 10 bottles of it, didn't he? Like, it was like he actually was working on commission for it. There was so much of it around.
He had, I loved his energy. He was just super fun and just really interested, wasn't he? And really kind of just bouncing back. And I loved him.
Yeah, I think he listened well. He was engaged. And from my memory, you actually had quite a deep conversation. You talked about family and values. And I think that was probably a breakthrough date for you in terms of opening up and being a little bit more vulnerable.
So before we listen to a clip, why would that have been a breakthrough date? What do you think was happening between me and him that made
I think
a change
you
in me?
Mirrored each other's energy. And within that, you found a bit of comfort, like, you know, he understands, he's listening, he's engaged with what I'm saying. And also he offered up some personal bits and bobs of his own. So there was that level of confidence in him. So yeah, that's why I think it was a breakthrough date.
Should we have a little listen? But lucky I'm dressed. Honestly, I've got one.
That's disappointing.
Seriously, you're very lucky.
Stand up. Stand up.
Goes on. What was I going to say to you? Don't you make me laugh now.
See, I like that clip because it's a little bit flirty and it was a little bit intimate as well. So yeah, definitely New Zealand Frank was a good date.
What if I'd been naked? What if I had stood up and I was naked?
I don't know what you want me to say to that. He probably would have just been super, he would have either been absolutely thrilled or absolutely mortified. And there's no in between.
We were talking about emotional intelligence as well, weren't we?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This date had, so there were so many facets to this date. You covered a lot of different topics, some of it kind of, you know, light and airy, and some of it really quite deep. And you talked about the type of person that you'd be attracted to. You were talking about someone's mind as well and you know, family. I think that date was a proper deep dive date.
Deep dive date. Is there another clip?
Yeah, of course. We can all have strokes of fortune and bad luck and bad sense of timing for various things. But essentially, I think the core you and the core life experience that you go through is relatively, there's a blueprint there that you've followed.
I like the idea of that. I like the idea of relinquishing any responsibility, basically. I like the idea of it being something or someone else's fault.
Perfect example of talking in a deeper sense. Yeah, I like that. And I like that it was lighthearted at the end. I think that date was really well balanced. And I remember writing, you're both quite philosophical on the date about romance, about love and about expectations. So that was really good as well.
When if that happens in a date and you kind of get to the philosophical stuff and you're talking about relationships, are you effectively setting out your stall? Are you letting that person know? Eliminating that person? Is it a positive thing?
I think it's positive. I think you're inviting that person into your world, your expectations, and giving them the opportunity to either meet you and, you know, either with this is what I expect in return, or to confirm that they are indeed thinking that they are capable of giving you what you want. So it's a great indicator as to whether that person is a good match for you.
Can you trust what people say, though? Because if you're a player, and I'm not saying this about him at all, because there's no way on earth he was just so gorgeous. But if you're kind of laying out your stall, setting out your stall, and then someone gives you the answer you want to hear, are they just giving you the answer you want to hear as opposed to telling you what they really want?
The way you kind of get around sorting the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, is to look at them as a whole, not just listen to their words, but listen to their stories, You'll get to meet their friends and you'll see their family. You might be involved in their kind of social media life. There's lots of little ways we can judge someone and decide whether what they actually say in the physical world is a good representation of how they're going to be in the emotional world. So it's not just about listening to someone's words. It's about taking their words and coupling that with their actions.
You're very good at this. Stripper Frank. Now, Stripper Frank, he was a really lovely bloke and like incredible jobs, an incredible career. We didn't click.
No, there was no clicking. It was on the click front, it was silent.
Shall we listen to a clip of us not clicking?
Yes.
It sounds like you've done masses. I've learnt loads about you. Is there anything you want to ask me about me?
Yes, of course. What are you looking for in a man?
That is my favourite clip of the entire series. I don't even know where to start. I love that clip so much because if you haven't listened to that particular episode, please do because it's great. But it is just kind of like a whole date of you investing in him, asking him questions. And then right at the end, you say, is there anything you want to know about me? Which is something we previously discussed. And I was really proud of you for implementing it. And then there's just this massive silence where he's going, yes, of course there is. Chasm of silence, generic question. It wasn't anything to do with you at all. It was just, that chasm of silence. It should have been filled with clicks, but it wasn't.
It's so interesting, isn't it? When it works and doesn't, and when it doesn't work, and you just can't say why, can you?
No, I think, you know, that date was, it was a terrible date, but a brilliant learning curve.
is there another clip of us? The one where he proposes, what about that one?
I mean, as I said previously in the interview, when I was younger, I used to do striptease, so it was the busiest day of the year. So I used to work quite a lot and make a decent amount of money.
He's just talking about his previous job as a stripper and how much money he used to make. You are very, very politely, nervously laughing along.
I mean, in fairness, that is the crass question I would ask, was how much did you make? How much did you make getting your kit off? I slept with a stripper once.
Did you?
Yeah, years ago. When I was young and firm, I was in a cabaret act and we would play, we were called Chris Gibson and the Exhibitionists. I was an exhibitionist and we were so
well,
brilliant.
I didn't think you were Chris Gibson.
I could have been Anne. and we were playing, and one place we played was in, I think it was called the Pink Coconut Hotel, we stayed in the Pink Coconut in Blackpool, and then there was a venue in Blackpool, and there was one, and there was a stripper, and his shtick was that he looked like Rod Stewart, and he was called Hot Rod, but he wasn't the one I had sex with. I had sex with his someone who was lower down the bill, but he was very charming and very lovely and very beautiful. I had another great date, Seattle Frank.
Oh, I liked Seattle Frank. I thought Seattle Frank was great.
Yeah, he was great. I was less great because this is the day that Rona came to town.
Oh, you poor thing. I remember. I don't think you actually knew you had it then, though, did you?
I think I feared I might have it.
You did. You did. You definitely feared. We talked about it. You said, I'm pretty sure I've got it.
Yeah.
Oh, bless you.
Let's hear how I humiliated myself, how me and Rona ruined that date.
I recently did meet somebody, and she's amazing.
Who? Oh, is she?
Yes.
Oh, is she? Is she?
She's actually much younger than me.
Get off the line, Frank.
No, okay.
Lovely speaking to you. Bye. I took that well.
You did. I mean, it was, if we're blaming anyone, it's producer Jules for taking so long to get him booked in. He actually found a girlfriend in the interim.
He's had four children. Oh, bless him.
I'm retired. Oh.
It was when he, it was the double whammy of, and she's a lot younger. It's like,
I know. I remember watching that and just seeing your, yeah, I mean, you hit it well, but I did see a flare of the nostril.
A closing of the fist. Oh, but wasn't that the date when I, A, think Rona, you know, had just come along, and also couldn't quite see, so thought he had, was I accusing him of going on the run? Didn't I think there was a suitcase?
You were convinced. I think there was a table in the background, there was some piece of furniture, and you were like, why have you got a suitcase packed? Are you leaving? I think you might have been a tiny bit delirious.
Well, let's listen to something else from that date. I don't have kids, but I always thought if I had children, I'd call them Frank or Frankie. I always had that name in my head.
So is that right?
That's not, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's not why the podcast happened, but yeah.
Do you see how I spell it with a C, not a K?
You've got it with a C. Well done. Yeah. Is that a deliberate?
Yeah. So like I said, it was cut off from my dad being Francisco and then Francis and then Frank. And so I get different people call me Franck. You know, it's an interesting name, definitely.
I remember hearing that and just thinking, why would I not be Frank? It's not even, it's barely a noise.
You are ignorant sometimes. You're beautiful. What a thing to say. Hey, Annabelle, that is interesting. So it's true. I'd always thought if I had a child, I'd call them Frankie. Isn't that weird? And this has all happened. What I loved about this, Frank, sorry for calling you ignorant. That's such a terrible thing to say.
That's fine. I feel like is this a word I don't know?
No, it means beautiful. Like,
does it?
It means beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, I just thought it was.
No, it means beautiful. Leave it. Let's move on. Really let's move forward. Let's move forward. Please stop it. What I loved about him as well was yes, he's in love with someone else. And yes, she's young and her breasts are where they should be, whatever. But we really got on and it was like it was like friends chatting. And I remember you saying something and I thought, oh yeah, I really like this. Because I was like, you know, we friend zoned each other. And you said, well, that's actually not a bad thing. And I love that. So you think that people could develop romantic feelings towards friends who they've been friends with for ages. There's no real time limit in being a friend. And that's actually maybe a really gorgeous way to start a positive relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the word friend zoning or the term gets a really kind of bad rap because it's almost like saying, well, this person isn't worth knowing unless I actually get to have sex with them at the same time. And that then kind of devalues them as a human and it makes them more of an object. So friend zoning, while it doesn't, like people use it in a really negative light, actually it's really positive and it means you get another person in your life, another friend, and we could all use more friends. And there's also the possibility of that friendship becoming romantic. So to say, oh, actually, they friend zoned me, therefore I don't want them in my life, is a really short-sighted way of viewing relationships.
How can you imagine that conversation though? So you've been friends with someone for 8 years and you know you've been to gigs together and meals out and you've talked about your relationship woes with each other. Do you know what I mean? And then the courage to actually have that conversation if you suddenly thought, well, actually I really like this person.
It is really daunting, but it's also a good, always good to remember that the person you've started to fall for is not the same person that you were once friends with. We're always changing. We're always evolving. It is possible to develop new character traits. It's even possible to change your personality type over time. But that person you're now looking at in a romantic light, yes, you have known them in the like physical sense for a while or a long time, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that friendship. I often hear people saying, well, does that mean that they only ever wanted to go out with me and they never actually valued my friendship? And I don't think that's a particularly helpful or healthy way of looking at it. What it means is actually you have developed as a person so much so that not only do they want to be friends with you, but they are now looking potentially at you for a relationship, which is almost developing that friendship into something else.
That must be very weird for the friendship circle around you.
Yeah, it is. And it is a completely different approach that you have to take when two friends in a friendship group become something more. Because a lot of friends on the kind of periphery will automatically catastrophize the relationship. Oh, well, what happens to us if they break up? That's the most common next level thought when people get together. And, you know, that could happen. It's always worth considering that and thinking, okay, well, if that happens, then how am I going to act? Just so you get it clear in your own head. But for a lot of couples, that doesn't tend to happen. And if it does, the friendship circle on the whole largely stays the same with just a few minor adjustments. So it's not worth catastrophizing and, you know, getting in your own head and creating problems that as of yet aren't actually there.
Oh, I'm good at that. That's why I'm very good at that. I told you I've got three self-help books, the same book.
No.
three men in my life bought me a book called Women Who Overthink. I think it's called that.
Wow.
Women Who Think Too Much or something like that. Yeah, three blokes bought it for me. Irish Frank.
Oh, Irish
wasn't
Frank.
Wasn't he gorgeous? But also, wasn't he just like so zen? And so,
he was so zen. So like, he was so relaxed and so calm. I felt like I'd been to a spa just listening to him talk.
Let's. Oh my God, his accent was beautiful. Let's listen to a bit of Irish Frank talking.
Like, I'm afraid to commit to things. Like, I'm afraid of missing out, basically, is what I kind of realized. which is why I decided to like stay here. I was like, I'm done moving around. It's not sustainable.
He was so wise.
I know, 27.
Oh, it makes you sick, doesn't it?
A little bit older than you.
Just a smidge.
Just a little bit older than you. Yeah, I really, really liked him. And he was so, and again, it all felt genuine. I'm about to say something really horrible, but some people kind of seem to go on journeys like he's gone on, and it doesn't feel real. It just feels a little bit, I don't know, disingenuous. And it just all felt real deal with him.
Yeah, he felt so authentic in his beliefs and himself as well.
Yeah.
And it was really nice to see, because I think that's a rare trait in anyone, let alone someone who is 27.
He also, I remember, dates older women, but I didn't have the nerve to talk to him about that in the date. Should I have said something about that?
I think it was a missed opportunity to get a little peek into his psyche. But I think also, you know, the date was very natural and very organic. And if it didn't come up naturally, then forcing it might have, you know, his whole vibe was authenticity. It might have felt disingenuous. So was it a shame it didn't come up? Yeah, maybe. But is it the end of the world? No.
Tell me, and remember, I'm 56 now, so be gentle. Where do you stand on the, what's an acceptable age gap in a relationship?
Do you know this, I actually get asked this question quite a lot. And I think there is no rule of thumb for it. That it is entirely dependent on the two people in question. I think an age gap becomes too much where you have no overlapping like life experiences or cultural references or interests, or if perhaps your parents are the same age as your partner, you know, things like that that can throw up difficulties can make an age gap too great. But as far as just the couple are concerned, a lot of this is external. So really, it's about a meeting of minds. I think when there's a big age gap, you often get, for example, I know someone who has a large age gap, but we have described her as an old soul since she was about 5 years old. She's always been a pensioner. She's just got this really mature energy, and she's never been interested in... her friends are older than her. She's that kind of person. So even though there's almost 20 years between her and her partner, it doesn't... when you talk to them, it doesn't feel like that at all. It's just the externals that shows the age gap.
You know, we've touched on this, that I guess one of my big fears about relationships is almost them ending. It's like, you know, it's almost like I think I'm self-sabotaging a lot less than I used to, but there's still that kind of, I guess that's the end fear is, you know, the colours, how I, you know, act at the beginning. And with age gap relationships, I understand everything you're saying. And there's also, I guess, a big factor is life stage. It's like almost where the age gap is. You know, if you want to have children, suddenly one of you can't, you know, age-wise.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so things like that are thrown up. But that still wouldn't mean that you wouldn't have an incredible, glorious 5 years with someone, say, 10 years with someone, say. Part of my fear is relationships ending. So I guess I haven't gone into some things for fear that they won't last forever.
Mm.
But lots of things don't last forever. That's such a kind of limiting way to approach a relationship, isn't it? Because maybe it's not even realistic that any marriage will last forever.
Well, yeah. I mean, the the idea that you don't allow yourself to potentially have great experiences for fear of the eventual outcome is preventing you from actually embracing and living your life. So maybe we work on that a little bit more and try and figure out why the end is the first thing you focus on.
Oh, it's so annoying. We've come to that right at this stage. But I think that's a real, I think that's a big factor. Let's hear more Irish Frank. Let's lift my mood a bit.
Yeah, like the point being that I feel like that's what, you know, disconnecting, you know, be it going camping or just going into a retreat center, you know, where you can still have your bed and have your shower and a hot tub and whatever. It's the same thing. But I guess doing it by yourself would be challenging. It's more challenging. I have done stuff by myself.
It's so amazing talking to you. I feel really inspired by all of this. I want to do like a culture shock retreat that gets me out of this. And also, I'm really aware that I'm feeling really mellow talking to you because you've got that beautiful voice. It will not surprise you that I've been in a lot of therapy in my life. And I remember one therapist once, I remember saying to her, I try this and I try this and da, da, da. And she said, what would happen if you didn't try? I thought, God, that was so profound. I never had the courage to not try. But isn't that brilliant? What would happen if you didn't try and just see what happens, see what comes to you?
I love that his personal kind of philosophy was making you question your own. Like, that is what relationships are about. It's about challenging the other person and growing because of them as well.
It's so brilliant. I mean, honestly, I loved Irish Frank. The only problem with him was that he tried to make me go camping.
I mean, he did kill it, didn't he?
What a piece of work.
He tried to pull it back in that clip where he's like, oh, what about a retreat with a hot tub? And the damage had been done.
No, and I loved it. And also what he said was really true, that whole thing of knowing your limits with things like social media and stuff, just, you know, kind of if it's making you feel anxious, withdraw. if it's not serving you, withdraw just for now. You know, he's, yeah, I really loved him. I loved him. Was that friendship or flirting?
Do you know, I think there was an element of flirting going on. I remember taking a couple of screenshots while you're on the date. And there was some very toothy grins, which is one of our key nonverbal communications to say we're interested. And this is really interesting because we look for good teeth in a partner, like symmetrical teeth are attractive. And it harks back to the really, really depths of history where we didn't have dental care, we didn't have toothpaste, we didn't have mouthwash, and a good set of teeth would see you into your old age. You know, we're looking for longevity and teeth help us see that. So there was a lot of showcasing of the teeth, which is a flirting technique.
That has genuinely blown my mind and also depressed me because you know I've got Nanny McPhee's teeth.
You've got a great set of teeth. They're all there.
They're strong. They're strong. They're all there, yeah. And they're strong.
We'll call them statement teeth.
Is that you get me back for ignorant, which, by the way, means gorgeous. So our final date was with Desert Frank, and I liked him a lot. He was a lot of fun. He was really interesting. What did you think?
Oh, he had a great energy. He was really a really good person to talk to. He was full of, like, there weren't any awkward silences. He'd always got something to say. And, you know, he was really easygoing. And I thought it was a great date to end on.
I wonder how his book's doing. Because he was doing a book about teaching internationally, wasn't he?
I know. See, so ambitious, so driven. He had so many great qualities going for him.
Should have a little listen. What is the secret then to getting a relationship going beyond 2 years or for a marriage to last 50 years? I mean, that's extraordinary, isn't it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know, man. I mean, it might just be love at first sight. Maybe they're just, you know, serendipitous and found the right person at the right time. And I don't really know, to tell you the truth. I think my parents have just always loved each other. My brothers and their wives, they've got the right person. I have friends that have been married 3 times, so I don't know the secret at all of that. And I think it depends on the person too.
He is so right. It is entirely dependent on the person.
I thought what was really interesting about Desert Frank's story was, so he was saying that he hasn't had a relationship last longer than a couple of years, whereas his parents have been married for over 50 and his siblings all have really long-lasting relationships as well. And because I would always think that problems with relationships stem from never having had a good relationship role model around you. But it also works the other way. When you've got a great relationship role model around you, it can actually I guess the pressure's on.
Yeah, I mean, you can set your bar so high that no one or no relationship will ever meet your standards. And there's certainly a danger of that. But I think, you know, Desert Frank was, I think he was really sweet and realistic about love and life. He was quite philosophical in some ways. And the chat got quite heavy in parts, but it always felt very natural.
Do you know a word I hate to hear?
Go on.
Realistic.
Why?
Because it sounds so dry and so whatever the opposite of magical is. This is what you're dealing with.
You can have magic realism.
What, Derren Brown?
Yeah. Is he single? Is his
magic? I love Derren Brown. My friend describes him as made of magic, and he is. He's made of magic. I love Derren Brown. But you know what I mean? Realistic sounds a bit like it's in the same family as compromise.
I know, it does suck all the romance out of any situation, but it's also, unfortunately, a really important building block of a good relationship.
You're depressing me. Can we hear Frank again, please? Frank, look at us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Exactly. Well, we have things in common. That's fantastic.
Look at us being brilliant and changing people's lives.
I love you so much. Look at us being brilliant and changing people's lives.
I wonder if I was still on heavy drugs at that point.
You might have been, but it made him laugh, and you were bonding over your similarities. So it's always important to have crossovers between a couple. And you and Frank, well, you and Desert Frank were finding out where your similarities were.
Yeah, he was lovely, and I think that was the point because we were talking about his book, and he asked what I do, and I said I write. And we were talking about a bit about writing, and even that was really nice. You know, my career is really important to me, so you know, asking about that is asking about a lot of me. So that was really lovely to talk to about that, and also he was really open to listening, and yeah, I really liked him. Another thing about I'm really hooked on this scuppering that I do, which is I won't let myself experience for fear of the end result. It's such a dumb approach, isn't it? But with someone like Desert Frank as well, that he, and Teacher Frank did this as well, they move around, and Irish Frank, they move around a lot and they live in places for a while and then move again. That would be such a red flag for me, but actually that's silly as well, because they're doing that because that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really important and helpful approach to have, to separate the kind of right now person from what that person could be in the future. And getting to know them really helps you to see what their future self might be. It may be that they never want to settle down and they always want to move around. In which case, if you like that person, you want a relationship with them, you can join them. Like, it's not always, I think we're really good at just seeing things from our point of view, where if we flip it on its head, okay, someone travels around a lot and that might not be, you know, what you want to do. Or you might think, oh, well, they won't stay in one place long enough to fall in love with me. But if you go with them, or if you change your kind of mindset of, well, why am I so immovable? Then it poses a lot of different questions and challenges you to think outside your emotional box.
I love all this. I've loved this series. Have you enjoyed doing it, Annabelle?
Absolutely. Do you know what? It's actually been the highlight of, I think we've been doing it for a couple of 2 or 3 months now. It's been quite a while, and I absolutely love it. It's been a learning experience for me as well. You know, getting so close to someone who is actively dating, because that's not been my world for a really long time. And while I live and breathe dating and relationships, to actually be taken on someone else's journey is a real privilege.
Well, you've been amazing. Have you fallen more or less in love with me?
It would have been impossible to fall more in love with you.
I noticed you stuttered when you were telling that line.
I did. I'm just so overwhelmed. It's because if you could see my office, it's just covered in photos of you. So when we make eye contact, it gets me.
I understand. Is there, when I always ask if there's a percentage chance of me dating again, is there a percentage chance in that percentage that we can give to maybe if I've improved or if I haven't improved in my, you know, in terms of how I date? How do you think I've done?
Oh, I think where you started to where you are now, it's gone from maybe, I'd say 40% of you was ready to date or able to date. And now I'm going to say 75 to 80%. You have changed so much, not only in your outlook and approach, but also in like just talking to you. I can tell you have changed how you feel about yourself and what is right for you as well. So like the transformation has been, it's just been incredible.
Oh, it's so weird. My Franks have gone. Gone but not forgotten. They're in my beautiful blackened heart forever. That was such a weird thing going through all the episodes again, but I kind of loved it. Yeah, it has been what they call a journey, and I've loved every second. Thank you so much to our brilliant dating coach throughout this entire series, the wonderful, fabulous, gorgeous, a little bit too attractive, Annabelle Knight. Thank you to all my gorgeous Franks. I forgive you all for not falling in love with me. Thank you to producer Jules and everyone at Real 2 Media for making Frank. And most of all, thank you for listening and being part of this story. Please rate, subscribe, follow, and leave us a review to help other people find us. And wish me luck on my continued quest to find my Frank. Jesus, stop playing so hard to get.